Welcome to another episode of the Restore Your Mitochondrial Matrix Summit. I'm your host, Laura Frontero. I'm bringing you experts to help you boost your energy and fix your health so you can build the life you love. Today, my special guest is the beloved Evan Brand. You are a household name in functional medicine. Evan, welcome to the summit.
Hey, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so good. You are a certified functional medicine and functional nutritional therapy practitioner. With an online practice, you focus on finding and fixing the root causes of fatigue, depression, anxiety, digestive symptoms, and other issues. You have 16 million downloads on your podcast. That's insane.
It's probably closer to 20, but I quit counting and quit updating my bio. But it's taken a while. That didn't happen overnight. You got to realize that's 10 years. That's 2012. There was very few of us. Back then, it was like Sean Croxton, maybe Rob Wolf, maybe Mark Sisson. You know, he was doing Mark's Daily Apple at the time. Yeah. So that was a different world back then.
Yeah, it's still impressive. It's very impressive.
Thanks.
Yes. Now, you offer at-home functional medicine training courses through your Functional Academy of Medicine and Epigenetics called FAME. And you offer these on gut, mold, and energy issues. So you have a lot of practitioners that go through your work, also consumers of health. So you have a little bit of something for everyone, it sounds like.
I try to be deep enough to help the practitioners, but general enough to help the health seekers too. So like we can get geeky, but most people like the geeky because they've already been to 5, 10, 15 practitioners. Most people, as you know, in our space, most of our clients, they're pretty freaking smart.
They are. There's a savvy audience watching this summit right now. So yeah. we're gonna support that savvy audience right now in this talk. You have a personal journey with mold. You are a gut health expert. I'd like today to have you talk about the connection between mold, mitochondria, gut health. Let's paint, you know, the picture of why it's so important to support gut health. And can you start by telling us what happened to you with mold and what you know about that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I built a brand new house, was excited to move in, moved in, everything was okay. Then I started getting like histamine rashes, like getting flushing, and my blood pressure became unstable. I'd have 50 point swings. Like I'd go from like a normal 110 over 70 to like a 150 over 90 or 150 over 100, which for me is very freaking high.
Yeah.
And so I texted a friend of mine. I woke up dizzy. So I texted a friend of mine, Jack Wolfson, calls himself the paleo cardiologist, awesome dude.
He's on this summit. So catch his talk about
Hello, paleo. Jack. Yep. If you're watching me, I'll watch you. But Jack's awesome. So I texted Jack, hey, man, I'm waking up dizzy. What's going on? He texts back one word in all caps, mold. And mm-hmm. I thought, no way. And so I just start poking around in the house. And sure enough, built on a crawl space, bad idea. Go down in the crawl space. There's standing water down there. And apparently one of the what's called a Silcock valve, it broke. And that's a like a water hose where you hook up a water hose. Mm-hmm. So we were watering trees, got too cold, hose froze, busted the valve, standing water down there. And then of course that's going to evaporate up into your subfloor and then create mold issues, which can then get into your ducts and then your AC or heat kicks on and then it spreads this stuff around. So we figured it out. We remediated the place. Everything was perfectly cured, but just the mental trauma of it was enough for me to want to get out of there. So we got out of there, moved. We've moved several times. We move a lot. So now we're in a much sunnier place, which we love. But overall, it really put a lot of things that may have been dormant into like an active problem. So I had many tick bites as a kid growing up playing in the woods. And I used to work at a park system building hiking trails. I had many tick bites. Never really had a ton of problems. I mean, some anxiety, depression, gut problems. That's kind of how I got into all this. But it wasn't until I got exposed to the mold that I got really sick. Like dizziness, vertigo. I quit driving for almost 2 years because I was too dizzy. And thank God I'm back to driving now. I'm mostly over it. I'm still excreting mycotoxins out of my urine. So I'm still peeing out some mycotoxin, still some evidence I've got issues, but I'm so much better now. And so looking back at all the clients I failed with, I go, this is why I failed with them because I was just treating their gut. I was working on Clostridia and Candida and SIBO and SIFO and parasites and all that. And those people, now that we know based on me running hundreds and hundreds of these labs, all the people that are having recurring gut infections that have already been to the SIBO guy and did the SIBO protocol with the antifungals and the biocidin and the garlic and the whatever, the reason they're not better is probably because they have mold. and it's mm-hmm. weakening the immune system. And even the lab tells you that on their generic cookie cutter printout now, they'll tell you, like, for example, one mycotoxin called mycophenolic acid, they'll tell you straight up, this promotes the overgrowth of Clostridia and Candida. Meaning, if you just treat the infections in the gut and you don't get rid of the mycotoxins, you will not get well and stay well. You'll get well and then you'll relapse after a couple of months.
This is so important. Evan, so what's coming up for me is, here you are, a well-established practitioner running very successful practice and programs. And it took this experience with your own health to shift the way you practice. And what's important here for our audience listening is, even those of us in the health space who do everything right, we have our own experiences with toxins. And even though we have very healthy gut microbiomes, it can take us out. So, I mean, you're being very transparent and authentic about this experience. You're not hiding or holding back. You got taken out and you got a schooling on what needed to change in your own protocols as well, which is really amazing. And what I'm hearing you say is that the gut microbiome and mycotoxin infections are very tightly connected and linked. So can you explore more on that?
Yes. Well, and then we'll tie it into mitochondria too. If you just look in PubMed, if you just type in like gut bacteria, there's a paper here from 2020. It's titled Gut Bacteria Signaling to Mitochondria and Intestinal Inflammation and Cancer. And what they're discussing is the fact that the gut microbiome can actually signal the mitochondria and the mucosal cells. And so what's happening is leaky gut could somewhat be driven by this two-way signaling between gut and mitochondria. We think of gut as its own isolated thing. Maybe some people have made the gut-brain connection. So issues with like anxiety, depression, fatigue, we see that because we know you make B vitamins in your gut, for example. You make serotonin in your gut, for example. So most people already are in this space are somewhat aware of this gut-brain connection. We talk about that, how if you're depressed, treat your gut. So I had one woman depressed for 20 years. She was 90% better with her depression in 6 weeks of a protocol. Guess how many antidepressant herbs or nutrients or drugs I gave her? Zero. All I did is just give her a gut protocol, which I've done 1,000 times. It wasn't anything more complex or different than usual, but somehow that was the magic remedy to clear up her depression. And we followed up on it and she's like, what depression? I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. I'm like, do you realize this? And so I think people forget how sick they were. So please celebrate the small wins along the way. But the connection is the mold toxin in chicken or egg, who knows? So you could have been born with mycotoxins. These come through the placenta. They mm-hmm. do go through breast milk. We know this is well established. And so I've tested many children, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds. I will tell you with confidence, the most toxic people on planet Earth right now are children age 10 and below because they've grown up in the world with an insane amount of glyphosate being sprayed, an insane amount of other toxic chemicals, moldy schools, moldy buildings, mold from their parents. And these kids are in big trouble. I've got 80-year-olds that look cleaner on paper and have better mitochondrial function than 5-year-olds. So I've got kids that they're falling asleep in the classroom and they're going to get kicked out of school because of their behavior. And the parents come to me with their hands up like, hey, the pediatrician can't help. What do you do? Well, we look at their gut, but then we also look at mitochondria. And you can't just come in and say, do CoQ10 and ribose and carnitine and PQQ and other adaptogens. You can't just do that because you got to figure out what's actually damaging the mitochondria, and mycotoxins are a huge, huge part of that, but the mold toxin's also damaging the gut. So it's this big triad. So just picture a triangle you've got, or maybe a pyramid, if you will. I mean, I really think mold is like the base of this pyramid, and then stacked on top of that are these other tangential problems with the mitochondria, with the gut, bacterial overgrowth, with candida. And then of course, the very tip top of the totem pole there, you've got the downstream effects, which most people treat, meaning the depression. Instead of an antidepressant, you take, let's say, 5-HTP. Or for fatigue, you take your B vitamins and maybe your carnitine and your ribose and whatever. But most people stop there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to stop there. Like, I'm okay with doing natural medicine instead of conventional medicines. Like, if you have a headache, you know, here's turmeric instead of ibuprofen. That's okay, but you got to get to the root of the root. And at one point, I was so damn tired. I told you before we hit record, I could literally, I had a steep driveway at my last property. I could literally make it to the driveway down by the creek to the mailbox. But by the time I got back up the hill, I was so winded. And mold will do that to you. So to me, this is the biggest epidemic that we're facing.
It's incredible, Evan. You know, I have a mold story myself and I spent 30 years beating myself up for being a failure because I had mold exposures right before my freshman year of college. And my first year of college, all I could do was sleep. And I went to a campus that had a lot of hills and I could barely walk around. It was literally exhausting. And I missed a lot of my classes and I was on academic probation. It took me 6 years to get a bachelor's degree because I had to retake every single class. I can't believe that they didn't kick me out. And I went through this experience, you know, all through my 20s, 30s, and most of my 40s, feeling like I wasn't smart enough, like carrying this with me. And now knowing what I know about mold, I know I had a mold intoxication and I was so sick. And it took a couple of years for my body to naturally come out of it. I didn't know anything about functional medicine. I didn't have any support. It was just my natural healthy lifestyle that eventually got me functioning again. Of course, now when I tested mycotoxins, you know, at age 49, I had them. And I knew exactly where they came from. It was unreal. So similar experience. And this is the point is that this is what mold will do to people. It steals your confidence. I always thought I was a failure because I couldn't pass my first year of college with flying colors. Now I know I was sick.
Well, I can back that up with data too. So like when you say that statement, people are like, oh, that's like emotional. She didn't feel good enough. It's like, no, this is biochemical too, because when you look in an organic acids test, you can measure very important things. So everyone listening, if you haven't already, you need to get an organic acids test run. And then what you can do is you can have the lab run your mycotoxins on the same urine sample. And the reason the oat is so amazing is because you can look at mitochondrial function. We ought to pull one up. I've got some case studies. We've got time to do it. Let's look at one, because to me, this is where people are going to find the answers to their health struggles, because at the end of the day, that's the only reason people are here. They want to know, what the heck do I do? How do I feel better? How do I feel more energetic? What do I do? Well, if you haven't had one, you got to get an oat test run, because the problem is, until you have the data, you're guessing. So like if you've got mold colonization, meaning your college story, if you had exposure to enough mold long enough or your immune system was weak enough, you could become colonized. And now you need to use antifungals to treat that. If you just come in with binders like charcoal and clay and zeolite and other things people talk about, chlorella, you won't fully get better, because all you've done is you've opened the bathtub drain, that's the binders, but you haven't turned the water off. And so to fully get better, you've got to kill the colonization. And that can include treating your sinuses also, which most people miss. They're focused on stuff in the gut, antifungals in the gut, and they don't fully get better. So let me pull up a kid, if that's okay with you, Laura.
Yeah, while you're pulling that up too, you know, there's this important piece also that parasites and bacteria live hand in hand with mycotoxins. So if you've got these reoccurring, you know, parasite infections, bacterial infections, have you done a check for mycotoxins? Because that may be the problem, right?
I had parasites. I had Cryptosporidium and Giardia. They were wrecking me. I also had H. pylori. And H. pylori is an opportunistic infection. And I think that's also being driven by mold, because I treated the H. pylori, I treated the parasites, but I was still exhausted. And you mentioned the self-confidence. So this is a really messy one. So buckle up. This is a really messy one. This is a three-year-old. So when I tell you all that, like, kids are sick. They're not crazy. You know, the parents are like, oh, he's just bad. You know, he's just got sugar cravings. He's a kid. Give him the Pop-Tart. No, don't give him the Pop-Tart, because if he's got candida like this poor kid does, you don't want to be giving this kid a bunch of, you know, sugary junk. So how does this all connect? Well, when we're looking for bacterial issues in the gut, mold, mitochondrial problems, chronic fatigue, and then also mental emotional problems, so depression, anxiety, an oat can literally give you all the answers. So let me just run you through this. How you interpret these, you're looking for high markers, that indicates an issue. Low markers sometimes help, but if you all are watching this, you're seeing a bunch of H's, high. And you can see in parentheses here, long word, 5-hydroxymethyl-2-ferroic. This is an organic acid that indicates that this poor kid, 3 years old, is colonized for Aspergillus, which is the most common mold in a water damaged building. You want less than 28. This kid's a 358. He's off the charts. I mean, this is almost record breaking. Mm-hmm. And what happened is his mother told me the story. I treated their whole family. The mother had a house where the tree roots broke through the foundation, and every time it rained, their basement would flood. And so there you go.
Yep.
He's got candida through the roof. That's arabinose. All these here are bacterial overgrowth markers. So of course he's going to have SIBO. So folks, just treating SIBO, you're missing the boat. You're not going to fully get better unless you fix this colonization.
The root cause. About. Yeah, the root
colonization cause. Is allowing the bacteria to thrive. Then we get into the brain stuff. Surprisingly, his brain chemistry was okay. You mentioned that you didn't feel smart enough and all that. Well, mm-hmm. we know that mycotoxins directly impact dopamine. So when we see kids and teenagers, 16, 17, 18 years old, and they're struggling when they transition from high school to college, a lot of it is not just the new college or whatever. It's because their brain chemistry is so low. And so this kid actually was okay. But a lot of times we'll see dopamine extremely low. And if you just look in the literature, type in mold or mycotoxins, dopamine, we know it directly depletes dopamine. And then you get into nutrient markers too. So we'll see a lot of B vitamin, B as in Bravo. We'll see a lot of those deficiencies. We'll see vitamin C is low. I think you burn up vitamin C quite a bit when you've got toxins. So anyhow, but we treated this kid for a while and then we had a new oat on him. Let me just show you this because this is really where the magic happens. Remember that page one, how many flags? So mm-hmm. here he is age four now. This is a year later. Look at page one.
Look at that. Yeah.
We've wiped everything out.
The highs are gone.
Except this one here. So 13, so he's still 4-hydroxyhydroxypuric. This is a bit of some bacterial overgrowth, but in regards to that off the charts mold colonization, it's completely eradicated in a year.
Mm-hmm. And that bit of bacteria overgrowth may just be about supporting the commensal bacteria to push that out. You may not even need to do a big, you know, killing protocol on him, right?
I like the sound of that. And yeah, probably so. We usually just base it on symptoms too. So like if he's still complaining, then maybe we run some gentle antimicrobials, lower dose for like 6 weeks and then pull it out and then come in with some reseeding and then he's good. But
yeah,
I tell you, it's magical what you could do with a note test. And
you know, one thing I want to share here while we're talking about this, I studied with Dan Kalish for a year on oat and gut and all those things. And one of the things I learned from him, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, is when you kill the first layer of gut bugs, there's other gut bugs that have kind of been hanging out, waiting for room to play. Like the big bullies are gone. So now the ones that were smaller will come out and start to colonize because there's room for them. So you might have to go through waves of gut killing. I think that's really important to say right now because people think it's a one and done thing and it might not be. That you may need to go back in again and get the next wave. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. So that's why I like you so much because you worked with Kalish. I love Kalish. So Kalish has been a mentor for a long time for me and one of my buddies, Dr. Justin. We've done a lot of podcasts together and Kalish is the man. I love Amazing. Kalish. That dude has transformed this planet with mm-hmm. his knowledge and education on this.
He transformed my practice and my life. And actually I tried to get him on the summit. He was too busy right now during this time frame. We'll get him on the 2.0 version, but cool. He's incredible. So if any of you practitioners or, you know, health seekers, if you have an opportunity to learn from Dr. Dan Kalish, he's literally creating a legacy of practitioners who really understand functional medicine at a much deeper level. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got me into the oat, you know, Kalish talked to me about the oat years ago when I had him on my summit, my podcast, and I'm like, man, I got to go all in. So now this is standard procedure. I won't even see you as a client unless you've got an oat and a myco, because it's so critical for me to help you.
Yeah.
I don't want to guess it. People have already built up a supplement graveyard because they've guessed. They heard on this webinar, this podcast to take this or that, and they've got 20 supplements. They don't know what mm-hmm. the heck it's doing and mm-hmm. they don't feel any better. And so mm-hmm. when you have the data, you can be so laser focused and you can use less supplements. So like this kid, we only did like 5 things. Like it wasn't an intense protocol.
Yeah. And so for the mold protocol, in addition to supplements, why don't you tell our audience, what are some of the lifestyle things that you have them do and that works for kids too? What are you recommending?
Well, Petri dishes, number one, because they're cheap and they're relatively effective. They're not perfect, but Petri dishes are a way to get a good sample on your breathable air, and mold spores typically fall to the ground. So you can get these Petri dishes for less than $200. You could test the whole house. And so we use Immunolytics, which is a company out of New Mexico. It's a friend of mine's company. His name is JW. He runs the show. He's awesome. You could do the Petri dishes. And after an hour of leaving these out, you put the lid on, you send them back to the lab, and then you get a report, and you'll get a health score. And we look for single digits. Many homes that we see are 20, 30, 40 colonies. Sometimes the lab analysis person just gives up and they'll just mark it too numerous to count. Then you've got a big problem.
Yes.
So we like to test kids' schools. We like to test the husband and wife, their master bedroom. We like mm-hmm. to look at their office. Where do they work 8 hours a day at the office, you know? And so Petri dishes to me are one of the lifestyle strategies, because you can't get well in a sick home, no matter how good the protocol is. So this woman we talked about with her little boy, Thomas, until she fixed her basement, which she did, thank God, until she fixed the foundation, she was never going to get better. I told her, look, if your rate of exposure is greater than your rate of detox, you're not going to get anywhere. You might tread water. And so luckily she followed through, she fixed the home, and that's why her family got better and her son got better. So I think a lot of people are stubborn, and this is not on purpose. Mold makes you stubborn. And what I mean by that is there was a time where I was just compelled to go to like a bookstore, and it's just full of paper and full of mold. It's like I just wanted to seek out the mold. Now this is weird, okay? I'm going to go off the rails a little bit, but like, I think there's some mental, you may have seen this in one of the nature documentaries before. There's a particular fungus that does something, and the ant and the caterpillar, there's like a psychedelic fungus that mind warps the ants or something. It has something to do with the cordyceps mushroom. Anyway, I think mold has some mind-bending qualities to it.
Heck yes, it does.
Yeah. So I was compelled to go to those places. So my advice, it's weird because I'll get clients who are like, they're into antiques. Mm-hmm. They want to go to like used bookstores. They want to play like old instruments, like this old, you know, moldy guitar that I got in the 50s. It's like, I don't know. So my advice is you got to be diligent about avoiding re-exposing yourself. I didn't go, just like I didn't drive for a while, I didn't go in most buildings. I would let my wife do the shopping. I'd let her go in. I'd just stay outside and get fresh air, because I'd go get re-exposed and then I'd be dizzy for several hours after exposure. I mean,
you know, when you get it, you get it. And also when you travel and you go to hotels, you know it, right?
Yeah. I looked at a house the other day, just, it was not new construction. I typically only buy new construction, but I thought, man, this house is cool area. Let me look at it. It was built like 5-6 years ago. I walked in. By the time I got to the other side of the house, I'm tipsy. I'm like, uh-oh, there's a big problem in here. It couldn't smell much, but you could feel it. And so I think people just need to try to tune into their bodies. And if you feel weird, you get tired, or you get angry. So I work with a lot of children on the spectrum. And a mother last week told me they went to a new church, and halfway through the service, their son starts hitting and biting and screaming and crying, and they pull him out of the church and take him outside, and he immediately recovers. So I think people need to do a good analysis of where do they spend time. If you're going to this church service every week and you're flaring your child, it takes time to recover from that flare.
Right. And then the child gets labeled as problematic if you don't have, you know, parents that are savvy about this and paying attention to it and working with a practitioner who can test for it. And you guys, it's so easy to test. It's a urine test. I mean, you can test mycotoxins on a kid super easy. You don't have to draw blood. You don't have to do anything invasive.
Even for very young kids, there's a pediatric collection bag we can use, and mm-hmm. they can do that. So we've tested one-year-olds with success. Amazing. I've seen some crazy stuff even in a one-year-old where they've got skin issues, right? You hear a lot of babies with eczema and this kind of thing, and mom's trying to do this homemade coconut cream and whatever on the kids. Like, no, you got to fix this kid's gut. You know, kids are born with a leaky gut, which is normal to absorb breast milk better. But if they got a big load of mycotoxins through that breast milk, you're further damaging your baby's gut. So I don't want to tell you stop breastfeeding, but I'm going to tell the moms, hey, we got to get you all cleaned up.
I think it's really important that we're talking about this, because I feel like mycotoxins are the big missing piece in a lot of functional medicine practices and protocols. It's just been rampant, people not being able to get well because this hasn't been evaluated. And it's interesting. I always find that people say, oh, no, there's no way that I've been exposed to mold. There's no way. I've never lived in a moldy house. And I would say to that, you'd never know. I have an expert on this summit. His name is Brian Carr, and he is a mold remediation specialist. He has a company for mold remediation, and he explains how you don't have to have an active, wet, moldy situation happening to have mold in your house. It could have happened before you ever owned it. It's dry now, but those dried particles are there. And anytime a draft of air goes over it, or anytime it gets, you know, a mouse runs over it in your walls, it gets moved and gets into the airflow. And now all of a sudden there's mycotoxins in your space. So, and the other thing is people feel like I'm dirty if I have mold in my house, and I don't want that. And then I think the other piece is people think it's going to be really hard to deal with, so I'm just going to put my head in the sand and pretend it's not there. We're not going to test for it because it's going to be expensive and a lot of energy.
You right? are so accurate. And this is why marriages fail. And fortunately, I've saved a lot of marriages because I say, get your husband on the call. Get him on the call right now, because usually it's the woman who's sick. Mm-hmm. She's gained weight. She's got thyroid problems. She's got no sex drive. And, you know, maybe there's some emotional problems too, anxiety, depression. And so maybe she drinks wine at night to try to just make herself feel better. The husband thinks she's crazy. He's busy off working. She's mm-hmm. maybe a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And then they argue about it. And I get him on the call. I'm like, look, dude, I've got the urine test right here. She's off the charts. She's colonized. There's exposure somewhere. You got to figure it out. And you're correct. So it's, they think they're dirty. They think that it's, you know, too nasty. Like, oh, you know, that's embarrassing. You know, we have mold. Ooh, that's embarrassing, right? And then also, it is. It's the fear of the money, of having to fix it, remediate it. It's the fear of having to move, sell your house, and do all that. But look, you don't want to wait until you get a cancer diagnosis. We know that mycotoxins directly impact various types of cancer. So specifically, one of the most prevalent locations on planet Earth for liver cancer is actually in Guatemala. And if you look into the study on this, they tied it directly to the massive amount of moldy corn tortillas that the Guatemalan people eat. Wow. So just look up this study, type in like liver cancer mycotoxins. Yeah. You could read about this. So there are foodborne toxins that come from grains, moldy grains. The vast majority of exposure is from a water damaged building. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to wait until you get that liver cancer diagnosis to then try to do something about this. Mm-hmm. I had a woman in Oregon. She had a $2.5 million house, brand new, beautiful house, filled with mold. Off the charts. Every room was too numerous to count. The lab tech even called me. He's like, dude, you got to get this person out. They got to evacuate. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She didn't want to do it. Her husband didn't believe the lab. This isn't true. We don't see anything. We don't smell anything. There's no mold here. This is a brand new house. I'm like, your wife is literally dying. You know, this is a woman who previously had breast cancer. I'm like, you can't play around with this stuff. You got to get the heck out of here. They didn't listen. They never did a follow-up call with me. I gave them the answer they didn't want to hear, which is you got to leave. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to do it. So
it's crazy. People are more attached to their things and their fancy home than getting well. And also I would say that if you had your home inspected before you bought it for mold and all they did was like a quick little air test, chances are you're going to miss. And listen to Brian Carr's interview on that. It was fascinating because he talks about how that doesn't work.
It doesn't. Yeah. Those little air samples, they suck it out of the middle of the air column. But like we said, mold spores fall to the ground. So even a Petri dish test in general is going to be better than those.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So let's give people hope and talk about the healing process. So you go through a gut protocol. You probably have some good tips on other things that people can do besides supplements. They can support their gut health and their mycotoxin removal with some lifestyle activities as well. So what do you recommend for adults? What do you recommend for kids in terms of food, in terms of, you know, sauna, in terms of everything else that you would do to support removing mold?
Yeah, saunas are a game changer. You just have to go slow and steady with those, because mold and mycotoxins, just like Lyme or co-infections like Bartonella and Babesia, those can all trigger mast cell activation, so MCAS for short. And if you have activated mast cells, these are a type of white blood cell that releases histamine and tryptase and a bunch of other inflammatory cytokines. So if you have sensitivity to fragrances like laundry detergent, dryer sheets, that stuff bothers you, you've probably got some level of mast cell issues. I certainly did. I mean, I could not be within 50 feet of someone with like Tide laundry detergent. It would wreck me. So that stuff is poisonous. So please, free and clear everything. If you are not already gone of all synthetic fragrance, candles, do it today, now, because these synthetic fragrances, they're aggravating your mast cells. And if you've got mold, your mast cells are already aggravated. So if you have histamine intolerance and food sensitivities and you keep restricting your diet further and further, you're missing the boat. It's likely not the food that's the problem. It's that your immune system is so dysregulated and so aggravated from your bucket being full of toxins that the food just puts you over the edge. So for a while, I would get headaches from avocado. It wasn't the avocado that was the problem. It was that my bucket was so full of histamine from the mold exposure that I couldn't handle an avocado. Now I can eat it and I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
And for children, you mentioned children, same thing, getting these kids on good organic meals, because we know that glyphosate, even in parts per billion, can damage the good microbes in the gut. There's some cool research coming out now. It's a bit early, but on probiotics actually converting mycotoxins into something less damaging to the kidneys and the brain.
Wow.
So ochratoxin is produced by Aspergillus. So it's not mold that makes you sick. It's the mycotoxin they produce. It's like a mold fart. And they do that because they want to stake their claim. So like Aspergillus wants that piece of the drywall. And so it farts out ochratoxin, and then you're the innocent bystander, okay? So that's the actual mechanism. And the ochratoxin damaged the mitochondrial membrane. It'll damage your kidneys, which is why you're up in the middle of the night to go pee. It's not because you're old. It's not your hormones. It's mycotoxins. And then also the brain. We know that the ochratoxin damages the cerebellum, which is why you get some of the proprioception issues with vertigo or dizziness and disorientation. So binding all that stuff up, getting it out. You also brought up sauna. Yes, these are all important tools. The sauna, though, it can make you worse. I remember the first time I went in my infrared sauna, I did like 30 minutes at maybe 140 degrees Fahrenheit, and my heart was racing. I didn't sleep that night.
So, yes, start low and build up. You went at 140 right off the bat.
Yeah. So it was too hot and it was too long. And so if you get dizzy, you get woozy, please get out of the sauna. It can be helpful, but the sauna can aggravate your mast cells. So you may need to do something like quercetin or perea leaf or other nutrients to stabilize those mast cells before you get in there, because it can create a histamine response. Now I'm totally fine. And sweating is a learned response. Many people can't sweat when they're very toxic. So that's okay if you don't sweat.
I was the human anomaly who could exercise and not sweat. And I was so proud of that. And looking back, I'm like, oh, that was really bad.
Me too. All my friends sweaty at the gym when I was in the bodybuilding, you know, I wouldn't sweat. And I thought I was like better than them for some reason. Like my body could handle the exercise better. No, that was a bad sign.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. If you don't sweat, no good.
Yeah. So long story short, sauna can be helpful. Cold can be helpful. So there's some cold springs around where I live. I go in those cold springs. My brain is never more clear than after cold exposure. So
yeah,
that's helpful.
And if you don't have a cold spring, you might be able to find a cryo center near you where you can go do a quick blast of whole body cryo. And if you don't have that, you can fill a bucket with ice water and dump in it or take a cold shower. They even make cold, like hot tubs, but cold tubs now that you can have at your home that are just cold.
I've seen those. They're getting crazy. I mean, they're like $5,000-$10,000 for some of these fancy ones. So.
Yeah. And you go in it three times a day. So imagine having a hot tub and a cold tub at your house.
It's a good idea. Now, it won't get out mycotoxins, but it can certainly help. You know, you see online, you'll see videos of guys on, you know, Instagram and stuff jumping in these cold plunges like it's the miracle cure for everything. I just want to be clear. That's not going to treat the gut infections. That's not going to get the mold toxin out. So please don't fall for some $5,000-$10,000 sauna cold plunge setup, because it's way cheaper to buy activated charcoal. It's like 10 bucks a bottle, and that's going to pull the mycotoxins out of you. So don't get lost in the weeds, because there's always some new sexy product that's $5,000 to $20,000 that's going to be the miracle. And it's not necessarily.
No.
So exercise, as you mentioned, you can sweat for free. You don't need a sauna to get better. So please don't think like, well, this is only for the rich. I get that comment when I recommend like a sauna. Well, you got to be rich to do all these things. Like, no, a lot of this stuff is free or cheap. Like, don't go in the moldy building, do an outdoor activity instead of going to the moldy library.
Yeah. And also I'll say on the cold, just while we're talking about this, and we are on the mitochondria summit. So your cold therapy is going to be more supportive to your mitochondria than it is to eliminating mold. And you need that ATP energy production, so your immune system can work on clearing the mold as you do all those healthy things. So that's like a supportive strategy for your mitochondria.
Absolutely. And getting the mold out protects the mitochondria, because they're directly damaging the mitochondria. And then of course, all the toxins that come from the dysbiosis, that's no good either. So when you look up chronic fatigue and mycotoxins, a guy named Dr. Brewer did a study on this. He ran a chronic fatigue clinic. 96% of his patients with chronic fatigue had at least one mycotoxin.
It's incredible. I think of everyone that I test, I really encourage my clients to do mycotoxin testing. And I don't think I've ever had a test that had nothing. I think every single person has at least one, if not multiple. The other thing I want to say here is, you know, we wrap up real quick, we could talk forever, but I think it's really important for people to understand that mold is literally trying to kill you. So when you have parasites in your body, they are living off of you. They eat first. They are using you to survive. That's what a parasite does. Mold have a primary goal of returning organic matter to the earth. That is what they do. They are trying to kill you. That is the purpose of mold. If you think of something decomposing on the forest floor, it, the last thing that happens after the bugs get to it and everything is mold brings it all the way down to nothing. And that happens to be you're a living, breathing being with an immune system. So it's having a hard time killing you, but that's what it's trying to do. And I think that's really important for people to understand. This is mission critical. When you said, you know, don't wait until you have cancer and you have all these other health problems. Mold is literally trying to kill you.
You're freaking me out, Laura. Now I feel like a big log in the woods rotting away into sawdust.
Well, we can help prevent that, can't we, Evan?
Yeah, we can. And you know, it's very difficult to live in a bubble, but JW at the lab, you know, he'll tell you that he was called Bubble Boy because he tried to avoid these toxins. And so like I told you, there's a lot of buildings I avoid. If I go into a restaurant and I smell it, I leave. If I go into a store and I smell it, I leave. I just don't mess with it anymore because I know it could potentially set me back for days to weeks. Now, I'm so much better now. I can typically recover from an exposure within minutes to maybe an hour. But when I was extremely sick, if I went in a bad building, honestly, it would take me 2 to 3 days to recover. The brain fog was so intense. And so I encourage people, go do whatever biohacking, brain supplement, nootropic you want. I wrote one of my first books that was published on nootropics, so essentially brain vitamins. But I'll tell you, I don't care how much huperzine and carnitine and the tyrosine and you've got vinpocetine, you've got all these other nootropics. So you can take those and those will help with blood flow, like ginkgo can help the microcirculation in the brain. However, you got to fix the root cause. So that money you spent on the brain supplement, you could have spent on binders instead.
Absolutely. I think what comes up for me is oftentimes in functional and integrative medicine, we're swapping one medicine cabinet for another. So you've got a prescription medicine you were using over here in the allopathic space. You've got these symptoms. So now we're giving you a supplement for that symptom. But unless you're exploring the root cause and really digging in, which is going to take some time and investment, but it's totally worth it, then you will never solve the problem completely. You're just swapping a prescription for a supplement to solve a symptom that's caused by something bigger.
True. Think of that lady I told you earlier. She was depressed for 20 years. She got 90% better in 6 weeks. I gave her no antidepressant herbs. Now, typically, I may come for those palliative tools like rhodiola that may be a great antidepressant herb. But in her case, I didn't need it. I just fixed her gut.
Yeah, we've got a great toolbox. I really think it's important to give people wins and to help them feel better because it helps with motivation to keep going. Like people got to win, right? They got to start feeling a little better so that they can show up in their lives and show up for themselves. So we use a lot of these supplements to help you feel good so you can keep going. I'm sure you'd agree.
Absolutely. You should see my cabinet. I've got all kinds of tools. I've got the immune stuff. I've got the adaptogen stuff. I've got the energy stuff, the brain stuff, the bind. I mean, it's all like my family calls it Evan's apothecary.
You should do a Facebook Live or something on, hey, come over to my house and see what the practitioner has in their cabinet. People love it when you do that.
Oh, I'd have to bring out the Tupperware. I mean, there's quite a bit. And some of it is failed experiments, you know, full disclosure. So
yes, you have a graveyard of supplements you no longer use too, I'm sure.
I do.
Me too. This has been amazing, Evan. Any final words as we close for today? Tell us where we can find you. Tell our audience where they can get a hold of their do-it-yourself programs, or if they want to have a consultation with you, how would they do that?
Sure. I would just encourage people to keep going. I know when you look at the news, which I try not to do much anymore, it seems like the world is ending. We're living in apocalyptic times. It's this shortage and food shortage and chip shortage, and you can't get a car and the housing's too expensive and the market's crashing. And like, you can screw up your nervous system with all of that. And a friend of mine, Dr. Margaret Christensen, she told me that I would not heal, even if I had a perfect protocol, if I didn't fix my nervous system. And we didn't get into that too much today, but the impact of mold mycotoxins on the nervous system is real. You will get stuck in sympathetic because what'll happen is your amygdala grows in size and sensitivity after you get exposed to this stuff, meaning you're going to be frazzled and startled more easily. You're going to be quicker to anger. You're going to be quicker to just emotional intensity. Yep. And so you have to do brain work So brain retraining, like brain meditations, I do or recommend the Gupta or Gupta, different pronunciation, same thing. I've interviewed him. His name's Ashok. Great guy. He does some meditation programs where you can help your brain. If I'm on my game and I'm doing these brain retraining exercises, I'm less reactive to buildings. I'm less reactive to fragrances. I'm less reactive to supplements. So there's a direct connection between the sympathetic, parasympathetic balance and what you can achieve. So if you're in fight or flight and you're watching CNN all day and you're doing this mold protocol, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
You got to get rid of that. You got to break your TV, because if your nervous system is stuck, you're not in a healing state. Okay. And so your mind and body have to know, oh, it's okay. I'm safe. I'm safe. Yeah. I'm safe. And until you get there, you're going to struggle. So that's my last piece of advice, is do something to nourish your nervous system. My wife this morning, so my oldest daughter was sick and my wife was stressed about it. And she said, babe, my chest hurts. And so I gave her some herbs, try to chill her out a little bit. But then we went for a walk on the beach and then she went swimming. And she goes, hey, guess what, babe? My chest pain was a 6 out of 10 this morning. Guess what it is now? A 0. I'm like, good job, honey. And so all she did is go for a swim. And so I think that we get so caught up in these symptoms and we go through these negative thought loops. I'm so miserable. I'm never going to get better. I've already tried everything. I'm screwed. This is doom and gloom for me. You got to break out of that. And it's very difficult. And I've been at the bottom. I've been at the depths of hell with my own issues. And so I just encourage you to know there is light on the other side. Look at you. You have an amazing recovery. You look amazing for 49, by the way.
I'll be 50 in a couple months. Crazy, right?
Recovery. So you're living proof that like you can pull through to the other side and be successful in your life. And so, so that's my pep talk. And then if people want to reach out, evanbrand.com is my website. I have functional medicine training courses on there where you can learn how to look at labs like I showed you today, how to look at your own labs, look at case studies like yours and make protocols based on what you've learned in the course. Many people get better without ever doing a consult with me, but I do offer consults as well. I have a one-on-one practice that you can reach out, book a call if desired.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Evan. And also I will say, thank you for bringing up sympathetic versus parasympathetic. Of course, we have some amazing speakers on this summit talking about that. Check out Jody Cohen. We have a lot of brain speakers. Peter Kahn comes to mind. So check out those interviews as well. And so glad that you brought that up at the end. Very critical.
My pleasure. Jody's awesome. So yes, that'll be a good talk.
She is. She has quite a story. You know, she lost a child, and really worked on herself to bring her nervous system back into balance. That's no easy thing. If she can do it, anyone can do it. It was a highly traumatic loss of a teenager. So really crazy story, but she's proof that you can heal and you can bring your system back into balance.
This is true. We love you, Jody.
Yeah, I know. We do love Jody. All right. Well, thank you so much, Evan. Thank you for being here. We appreciate your time, your generosity, your wisdom to the world. Keep doing what you're doing because you're changing it one life at a time. Thank you.
I'm going to keep going. Thank you.
You take good care now.
Bye.
Bye.